The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Thank you for calling webmasterradio.fm during office hours. Please hold while we connect you to one of the most sought-after experts in SEO, analytics, and web development. We're connecting you now to office hours only on webmasterradio.fm. Here's your host, Vanessa Fox.
And to the power of Skype, the magic of Skype.
Well, hello.
That's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Yeah,
now.
All right.
I think everyone will appreciate that.
The ears will not suffer no longer, my dear.
That's right. You know, I feel like we live in the future, and yet why do we continue to have to deal with technical problems? I feel like technology should just work by now, but then it just doesn't. It's just not right. So, yeah, so I'm at my house right now, you know, and
nice.
I've got all this crazy technology, which is like, you know, I'm paying for the super high speed internet, and I've got these like wireless boosters, and yet I have my laptop and I have no internet access at all. So, and Skype makes you think that you're online when you're not. So I'm typing hello and there's nothing. But hello, everyone. We are here. We have made it. Welcome to Office Hours on Webmaster Radio. I am Vanessa Fox. Today is Wednesday, July. I know we're in July. July 20th, 2011. And it is noon Pacific time. We are at our new date and time. And hey, is the chat room working today, Brasco?
No. We're still working on things. What needs to happen is we're finding a new home for it. Our chat room is homeless right now.
That's really sad because I like the chat room.
I know. We're finding a new home for it. It'll be a wonderful home for wonderful chat. And chat will be so happy. It'll be wet, full fed, and taken care of.
That sounds good. So for those of us listening live, you cannot join us in the chat room today, sadly. But you can send me a tweet, which is, you know, at Vanessa Fox. Pretty easy to remember. So if you have questions or comments or want to ask me a trivia question that you think might stump me, or you want to try to distract me so that I don't sound professional on the radio, all of those things, feel free to tweet at me and we'll see how that goes. And perhaps soon the chat room will be back with us. Today, what I thought that we would do is I wanted to go back and answer some of the questions that you all have been sending in, which you can do by going to 9byblue.com and clicking on the contact link, choosing office hours, and then you can ask me a question. And we try to get to these, but I think we have a few that are backed up. And so I wanted to get to some of those. I also have gotten a few questions through Twitter, and so we will take a look at those as well. And then if we have time at the end, we might take a look at what's been happening in the world of search, because there's always some fun things that are going on there. I will say one thing that I thought might be useful to briefly mention is, you know, I talk a lot about how technical infrastructure can make a big impact to search. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and of course, as would make sense, people are concerned about things like penalties if they lose ranking. People are concerned, as they should well be, about the content on their site. But it can be more difficult to track down what's happening with the technical architecture. And in fact, you know, it can be so complicated that a lot of SEO projects or SEO programs may not really take the intricacies of the technical architecture into account. And I wrote an article yesterday on Search Engine Land pointing to some particular issues with the Twitter.com infrastructure that I thought might be useful. I only had time to do kind of a quick look, and I, you know, highlighted a few things. But basically what happened is, you know, a few weeks ago, the agreement that Google had with Twitter for the feed of tweets expired. So they had a deal and it expired. And so up until then, a lot of what you saw on Google from Twitter was not from Google crawling the site, but was from the feed. And so with a site like Twitter that's so large, I think technical architecture becomes really important. You're right. I think the larger the site is, the more important it becomes. And so now that Google has had to fall back on more of a typical crawl of the site, you're starting to see how technical problems can really surface in search results. And so from there, with their case, I just highlighted a few issues. One in particular, so I thought that this was interesting, and I think this probably happens a lot. So I have a screenshot in there. If you do a search for my name, you know, it has been the case for a while that my profile from Twitter ranks on the first page. So, and that's, of course, what they would want, right? Because if someone does a search for me, they would rather have people go to the Twitter page on me than they would, you know, have someone go to, say, the Facebook page or the Google Plus page or whatever, right? Because that gets them more visits and more engagement. So now, though, if you do a search for my name, my Twitter page shows up, but it's the URL is www.twitter.com/VanessaFox, and it's partially indexed, which means that it doesn't have a description and the title is being pulled from somewhere else. And so I looked into it to see what's happening, and what's happening is that they have canonicalized their www non-www to be the non-www version, right? So they have a redirect in place from the www version of their site to the non-www version of their site. And that's great, right? That's the right way to do it, is to put in a redirect. And what that means is that anyone linking to the www version, all of those links get consolidated into the non-www version, right? Because all the links are going into www, but then there's a redirect, right? But in the case of Twitter, what they've done is that if you go to twitter.com/robots.txt, you see their robots file. If you go to www.twitter.com/robots.txt, you get a totally different robots file, and this robots file disallows the whole site. And so basically what it seems like they're trying to do is they're saying, we don't want the www version to be the one that shows up, so we're just going to block all of the www URLs. And so what that means is that my Twitter profile with the www probably has more links than the one without the www. So since Google then can't follow the redirects, right, because they're blocked from crawling the www version, they can't consolidate those URLs. So from Google's perspective, there are two separate URLs, but the one that they're choosing to rank is the one, you know, let's say, just for sake of argument, is the one that has more links to it. But they can't show a description because since they can't crawl the page because they're disallowed, they don't actually know what the contents are. So, I mean, I think that's just one example where someone probably thought that they were doing the best thing. But really, they kind of made things a little bit more complicated, and they ended up hurting their visibility in search, right? And so without a title and a description, right, people might skip over a result if they don't know what it is. So there's a bunch more examples like that that I point to. They're using Google's crawlable Ajax. They're doing some other things. So if you're interested in sort of how technical architecture can impact search, take a look at that. All right. So yeah, so someone's saying that they lose link value. I mean, that's really what happens, is that they, you know, lose a lot of that link value. Cause if you're blocking those pages with robots, that link value just basically hits a dead end, and doesn't get used for anything. All right. And so kind of still along the lines of duplicate content, but a different situation is, Eric Enge, from Stone Temple, did an interview with me. I think we talked about this last week, where I did an interview with him about Google's Panda update and sort of what I think it might be all about and what you can do about it. And so he just noted this morning that his version of the page isn't the one that's ranking. And in fact, the Web Pro News has a syndicated copy of the article. And at least when I do the search, it's ranking, followed by, in my case, my site, although that could be because it's personalized. Let me take off personalized search and see if I get a different set of results. so he was like, why isn't my version the one that's ranking? Well, you know, so what I asked him was, so mine is the third result. Let me take off personalization. You know, so I was like, so what's up with this WebPro News? I mean, I love WebPro News, and I certainly don't have anything against them. But if the Soane Temple version and the WebPro News version are exactly the same, then that might confuse Google, right? Because Google will say, all right, I see two versions of a page that are exactly the same, so I'm just going to pick one of them to rank, and the other one could drop entirely out of the index. So I asked Eric if he was using the canonical tag or something as part of that syndication agreement, and he's not at the moment. So a couple of years ago, I had written an article about syndication. This was before the canonical tag, particularly the cross-domain canonical tag had been implemented. So, but otherwise, everything applies from that article. So if you're interested, you could go to 9byblue.com and search for syndication. But what I talk about there is when you're doing syndication, you really have to think through your goals, right? Is your goal to get more traffic because maybe you're trying to raise awareness about your site. Not a lot of people know about it. So there's another site that has a lot larger audience, and you just want to get your content in front of them so that you can get traffic. If that's the case, you know, go ahead and syndicate out the content. If it ends up being the case that you have duplicate and the search engines decide to rank the other version, right, because it's a site that's more authoritative, whatever, and you don't rank for your own content, that might be okay, right? Because maybe your goal for this syndication is just to raise awareness and get in front of that other audience. If your goal with syndication is to get links back to your site so that your version can rank, syndication probably is not the way to go about it, right? Because yes, while you are introducing more links to your site into that page, you're also introducing this duplication, which, you know, like I say, is going to sort of dilute. There's going to be a bunch of links going into that version instead of yours, right, which is diluting your potential. But then you also have this issue with duplicate content. And so in that case, if what you're going after is links, then what you might do is give someone, say, the abbreviated version, like the first paragraph, and then go to the site to read more. You might do a different article entirely, right, which is like, hey, here's the top five things that you need to do about X. Now go over here to read the article that explains how to do all of those five things. You know, something along those lines. Or maybe it's even something like part one of an article and part two of an article that each should sort of talk about something else. So if what you're trying to do is get links so that you can get your own stuff ranking, you really do need a strategy that has different content. Then you have this third case. Like in this example, Eric does these interviews. And he posts the interviews on his site, and WebPro News posts the interviews on their site. So certainly one strategy would be if WebPro News was cool with this, they could just post, say, a summary of what the interview was about and then say, hey, and go over to Eric's site to actually see the interview. Or you could post the interview as is if the idea is that you want it for the user experience of the site and you want your readers to have it there, and then use the canonical tag to point back to the original, which means, hey, but when Google decides what to rank in search results, it should be this original version. I think in the case of Eric's article, I noticed a lot of people linking to the WebPro News version, right? And so Eric is losing a lot of links that he otherwise would have gotten to his version. And so that's going to cause Google to say, hey, I've got these two pages that have exactly the same content, but this one over here has a lot more links. And so maybe that's going to sort of tip the scales. So it's difficult, right? Because when you're syndicating, generally the other site wants to rank too. But that's a thing to keep in mind is at that point you're competing with yourself, basically, where it may be the case that both versions don't end up ranking, or you dilute your link potential and your page rank value by not having all those links go to you if you don't use the canonical tag. And so, you know, both versions of the article or the page end up, say, with, you know, 100 links each instead of one version having 200 links or whatever. So, you know, I think that that's what's going on there. Syndication is a tough one for sure. So that's what I would say there. So with that, I would say let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I will get to some of your questions in email. So stick with us.
Please hold. Vanessa will be with you in a moment with more Office Hours.
2, 1, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at ClickBank.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Catch us Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization channel only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
We thank you for holding. We will now connect you for more Office Hours only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Office Hours on Webmaster Radio. I am Vanessa Fox, and my cat is here with us. You may hear him chiming in. He likes to, you know, give his opinion sometimes on the show. So we're going to dive into some questions via email, and it looks like one may have just come in just now. So you guys are really hopping. So, hey, here's the question. We have Matt Cutts from Google. Who do we have from Bing? This is a good question. This has kind of changed over time. The thing, though, is Google doesn't just have Matt Cutts. So it's you're kind of looking at a couple things when you're looking at Matt. You know, Matt, of course, has for years been this great resource at Google who's kind of been out there helping people and providing information. But, you know, Matt's main job and his original role is that he's head of the spam team at Google. And but my guess is that this question is more like, who is the spokesperson on search that, you know, we can look to and talk to about Bing? Now, in the case of both Google and Bing now, right, both have webmaster tools and a help center and a blog. And those are kind of the official sources of information. In terms of an actual person, though, you know, Bing has sort of changed over time. But who I think is going to be their main spokesperson now is Duane Forrester. He, for a long time, was an in-house SEO at Bing. And he now has taken over, I believe, product management of Bing Webmaster Tools. And so he's been out speaking at the conferences and stuff. And so he's probably the one that I would look towards. You know, they've, of course, got a bunch of other people over there too, but I think he's probably the main guy. So So, yeah. Another question that came in. This is a little bit more complicated question. We're building a newsletter system for a client. It's a newsletter made up of many content items. The generic version of the newsletter is sent to their clients, who can then make changes to the content, including localize it. Although some may not choose to edit the newsletter at all, other than a logo or a template, then the newsletters will be mailed to end customers and archived on websites. It seems that most of the time there should be a canonical link pointing back to the original archive of the newsletter, and search engines will be smart enough to tell that it is the same content even if there are small changes. But at what point is there enough custom content to no longer warrant the canonical link? And could any of the sites be penalized if they use the canonical but search engines don't believe the content is similar enough? So there are several questions here. So one of them is that this is actually a great idea. If you're building newsletter content that you're emailing out, you should absolutely, when you can, have an archived version on your site. And a lot of email newsletters do this, right, where they say there's a link that says, you know, to view this on the web, or, you know, if you can't see the images here, whatever, click on the web. Because that way you can really leverage that content for the visitors of your website as well as for search. So first of all, I think that's great. Then you've kind of got this next level of thing, which is they've got newsletters that they're sort of building as a template, and then companies are modifying them potentially and sending them out white labeled, right, as their own. Now, certainly in the cases where the content is exactly the same, you know, you could try putting the canonical tag on there. You could also do nothing, right? Again, if you don't care if, I mean, because this kind of goes to, you know, who's the audience? If you, as the person creating the newsletter, like, what's the canonical link pointing to? I think he's saying the original archive of the newsletter. So whoever wrote the newsletter originally and is sending it out to all of these organizations, if you, in fact, have a reason for that content to rank, but I'm not sure if that's the case, because if your company is a company that writes newsletters for other companies, you may not actually want to rank for those newsletter articles, right? Because that's going to bring a bunch of people to your site that are looking for something else. So that's kind of the first thing to think through. And if that's the case, you know, you could just leave the canonical tag off and let them fight it out, right? And then whichever version will rank, you know, so that's one thing to think about. In terms of how much content needs to be unique enough, I mean, again, this is not really something that is easy to answer, because it's really, is this substantially different? And that's going to be difficult, because even if the content is custom, the newsletter is still about the same basic set of stuff. So any of the general types of queries that's about, you're still going to kind of have a duplication issue. And instead, what's going to happen is that any content that's different, then that version of the page would rank for the queries related to the unique part, if that makes sense. If you have, say you have a newsletter article about how to plant potatoes, right? So even if people make minor changes, like their company name or, you know, whatever, maybe one of the differences is that each of the companies are located in a different part of the country. And so maybe the planting schedule is different. And so one person changes it to, you know, you should plant potatoes February 15th. And someone else is like, you should plant potatoes, you know, March 15th or whatever. Then, you know, still it's going to be only one version of that that's probably seen as relevant for a query for planting potatoes. But if someone does, you know, when do I plant potatoes in Seattle versus when do I plant potatoes in, you know, Massachusetts or something, then if those newsletters have been customized to say, you know, here's the planting schedule for, you know, potatoes in Seattle, then even if the rest of the content is basically the same, it should be the case that, you know, each version will rank for the query that it's relevant for. So the time that you're going to have the trouble is when it's a general type of a query where there's nothing sort of different about the page. And like I say, in that case, it's the same as anything else, where probably the version that's going to rank is the one that, you know, is on the more authoritative site or that has more links or, you know, that kind of thing. I would say, though, that in any case, I would not worry about a penalty. There's not really a penalty for using the canonical tag incorrectly. You know, it's not like a violation of the webmaster guidelines. Instead, what tends to happen is that Google will, you know, take a look and decide whether or not the canonical tag should apply. And if not, they'll just ignore it. So the worst that's going to happen is they'll just ignore it as though the canonical tag is not there. So I wouldn't worry about that. But, you know, like with any other kind of sort of duplication or syndication or whatever, it does really kind of go down to, you know, what is it that you're actually trying to accomplish? And, you know, what is really the best way to get there? Another quick question kind of along the same lines. This is a question about forwarding key-rich domain names and the knock-on effect, which I think perhaps means you have a bunch of domains that are keyword-rich and you're redirecting them onto your primary site. Do you get any value from the keywords in those domains? So, no. So the keywords in domains, you know, may or may not have signal value in and of themselves. That's the kind of thing that might change over time and that I would never build an SEO strategy for if you're really looking for long-term strategy. You know, you want to grab a domain based on the branding value because, you know, the search engines do a great job of ranking sites that don't have the keywords in their domain, and they also aren't necessarily going to rank a domain just because it has the keywords in it. So, you know, I wouldn't generally think about that anyway, but certainly even beyond that, redirecting a domain to another one, you don't get the keyword value from the first domain sort of sent over to the new domain, right? So if I had a site called greatbooks.com and I redirected it to 9byblue.com, that's not going to cause Google to associate the terms great books with 9byblue.com. Where you get the value would be if there were a bunch of links with particular anchor text going into the first domain and you're redirecting it to the second. But even then, the only way you're probably going to get that value is that if you had a site about books, right? Let's say you're a big book site and you acquire another book site and then you merge the two sites so that one, you know, the content from the book site you acquired gets merged into your original domain. And then you redirect that second book site into the first. Because both sites were about books, and so the links that were going into the site that you're now redirecting would still be relevant, and that anchor text is still relevant, and the links are still relevant, you may get some value there. If you just buy up a bunch of domains because they had a bunch of links and you pointed them to your domain, you're probably not going to get any value, right? Because those links don't actually apply to the new site. They're not actually relevant for it. And that's just a, you know, a tactic that Google has known about for a long time and does a pretty good job of being able to sort out. So, you know, these types of sort of things that are sort of more of a trick than they are a buildup of user value are not necessarily things that are going to make an impact. And even if they do, it's probably going to be a really short term impact. So it's not anything that I would really recommend spending, you know, any time on. All right, we have more questions, but I don't know that we have time to get into another question. Hey, Brasco.
Why don't we just leave them coming for more?
I think we should just leave them coming for more. Yeah,
I think alike.
Yeah,
we do.
I do have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Do you know when the chat room will be back, or am I just totally putting you on the spot?
No, because I am in charge of trying to restore it. So I am the one that's making all the phone calls. I'm the one that's coordinating with our chat room admins and our moderators to get this back up. I don't have a set day or time when we'll get it back, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
And I assure you we'll have it very soon.
Great. So for all of you who have asked additional questions, either on Twitter or email or through any other method, I will hang on to those, and we can talk about them next week. And I believe next show is it July 27th?
Yes.
All right. July 27th, which is a Wednesday, noon Pacific. So we will be hopefully catching up with the rest of those questions then. So please tune into us then. Or, of course, if you can't listen live, you can always subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. And that's kind of a good fallback, too. So thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you next time.